I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, you're listening to Are You Having a Draft? My name is Bradley James, Marcus Ellard on the way. This is part two of a two-part episode, Game Week 15. If you are wondering, hang on a minute, where was part one? It's probably in your podcasts waiting for you. Or perhaps you like things out of context. Then part two is for you. So without further ado, here is part two.
Question we asked them was a sliding doors question, Marcus. What change would they make to their season if they could go back, either a trade or a draft or anything? Transfer, what would they change? What would they make different about their season? Only one thing. I'd personally have got a list as long as my arm, but we shall start off again. Let's start off with a safe pair of hands and go with Andy O'Neill.
I held on to Deadwood for too long at the start of the season. I wish I'd have followed Yara's mantra of get it launched, but I didn't. I persevered. People like John Stones, Rudiger, Vertonghen that have been in and out of the team, I've hoped that they would come good, and only in recent times have I thought, let's shuffle the deck and get rid of some of this deadwood. I'd rather have someone who's playing most weeks than someone who might be good later in the season.
Andy sounds like he's reading from his biography.
Yeah, it had a certain ring to it, didn't it? I was trying to work out what it was, and I think that's it.
He sat in a bookstore, he's about to do a signing. Good. Loads of people come to see him read an excerpt, and he's about to do a signing, and there he's reading a chapter to get everybody enticed to reading Andy O'Neill, A Safe Pair of Hands.
That's all you need to say. We're done. That's brilliant. Quite good again from Andy. Safe pair of hands, very well said. And it's interesting that thing he says, I'd rather have someone that's probably who's playing every week than might play some weeks and get some points.
I think Andy fell into the trap of seeing the shirts that players were wearing and going, oh, I'll pick them up because they play for, in this instance, Man City, Chelsea, Tottenham. So he's drafted Stones, Rudiger and Vertonghen. Rudiger's the one where he couldn't have foreseen the injury that he's...
Yeah.
The length of injury that Rudiger had. And he couldn't also have foreseen Chelsea defence being as... just being as porous as it has been. Vertonghen at Tottenham, again, all sorts going on in that club this season. So it's difficult to foresee that. But as I say, I think he's been drawn in by the shirt that they wear, not the player themselves. Just, you know, filling up those extra kind of defender spots. Sometimes that works, but Andy's obviously had a bit of trouble with it this year. Again, shooting at the table at the moment, though.
Towards the other end, and a more, let's how the word put it, a more succinct answer, Jonathan Wolfe.
Gosh.
Answer to question number two. I would not change anything.
That's it. There you go. Hey, look, it's Jonathan Wolfe. What can you say? You can take a horse to water. Can't make him drink. It's a game of two halves.
You can put a lead on a wolf, but you can't take it for a walk.
No, he's that dog you see in the park sitting down. You know that. You know this, that. Come on, Wolf. Come on, Wolfie. Come on. And he sits fucking sitting down. And then the owner unhooks him and thinks, you know what, I'll walk right, he'll definitely follow me. And the dog sits there whilst the owner does a whole lap of the park until he gets back to the dog, and then the dog like joins him on the way home. That's Wolf.
And the dog gets home and thinks to himself, oh good, I took the human for a walk.
Yeah.
Job done.
Job done. So Wolf genuinely reckons he wouldn't change anything.
Should we just ask Wolf to do this again? I mean, not...
Well, that's when he comes on, because we're having him on in a couple of weeks, aren't we, I think?
Yeah.
So when he comes on, we'll interrogate. We'll get out the chair, wrap some sellotape around him, shine a light in his face, and tell him to answer the questions before he goes home.
Should we send him some media training first or something? Because
no,
it's going to be a pretty short episode.
Be a waste of money, mate. Waste of money. So, moving on. Bradley's face. Right. Moving on to meds, because everyone loves meds. So here we go. Here's meds's answer to question two.
What would I change? I would probably get maybe a Leicester player, seeing as how they are. And I did have Laporte from Man City and he got injured. So I think, yeah, just pick somebody that didn't get injured would have helped me slightly. And Fabianski's let me down a bit with his injuries. So, yeah, maybe get a better keeper.
Very good analysis from Meds, I think, there.
Interesting. I feel the injury ones, I can speak from experience, it's almost stuff that's out of your hands to a degree. You could argue that there are certain players who are more injury prone than others. I would maybe focus on that idea of Meds talking about Leicester players. Because at the start of the season, the value of Leicester players, if you looked at the whole of the previous season, was not going to be as high as if you just looked at the Brendan Rodgers tenure. And I think because of that, there were players going under the radar a little bit that were worth more than they were going for. And Meds is alluding to that, I feel. And we've all become aware of it this season, because Leicester have been something of a surprise package in that regard. Not that people didn't think they would do well, but tussling for second place.
That's very good. It's very good. I think as well,
but if somebody said to you at the start of the season, do you think Leicester will get Champions League football? I think you might have been like, we could. I don't think you'd been like, we will.
I think, I would have said like, we could, and I'd love it. I'd love it if we did. But I don't think I'd have been like, yeah. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't have been that. Yeah, of course we will.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously. Obviously, mate, yeah. Yes. Johnny, do you think Villa are shit? He'll probably give a longer answer to that question, I think. He'll give longer answer to a yes or no question on Johnny, do you think Villa are shit, than any of these questions.
Is it any wonder why I use provoking language on him?
On the WhatsApp group?
On anything. Because otherwise, you do not get a response.
No.
You get, if you ask him a nice question, he's like, ooh, here's my chance to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, he can't help himself. So unless you're there just poking him, you're just going to get these crap answers. Whereas when you actually, like, prod him, make him react, he actually gives you something.
Well, let's see in a couple of weeks. Could we keep talking about flipping Johnny Wolf here? Right. So, you sent me about 1,000 messages, all from Dutz, presumably still at the West Ham match.
I think Dutz is riding a wave of bubbles, because these have all come through in little pops.
Mate, what? I like what you've done there. One of them's 3.5 minutes long.
Oh.
I don't think Ceballos has even got me a point so far this season. So, definitely, not the best trade I've ever done. The teams are starting to come back out. Virgil van Dijk is currently getting me a clean sheet in a double game week. But I believe Fornals might be coming on to score a hat-trick and take away Liverpool's unbeaten run.
Oh, and we all know how that turned out.
Not very well.
That's called Hammer's half-time optimism.
My plan for the rest of the season is to micromanage and man-manage the shit out of my team. The teams are starting to come back out. Virgil van Dijk is currently getting me a clean sheet in a double game week. Just leaving the game off the back of a 2-0 defeat to a pretty formidable Liverpool team. But the silver lining that is the draft is my captain has kept a clean sheet in a double game week. West Ham and draft till I die.
So in the midst of that Hammers experience that he was having, we got a little word from him on Ceballos, who was a player he traded with Andy, and he picked up Giroud, who he since dropped anyway, and a handful of other players went in both directions. Andy took on board Jesus, he got rid of Ceballos, and Andy effectively turned Giroud into Sergio Aguero.
And also, latterly in the season, he's also turned Sergio Aguero into Sergio Aguero.
Moving on to Yare.
The Cerebral Assassin.
And question two. What would I change? I think I answered that in question one. I hate having regrets, because I see that as a sign of weakness when you have regrets. But if you want to force me into a change, it's just the moves I made at the start of the season, just on draft night. I made both mental and physical notes about what was done that night, and I can guarantee you that will not happen again. Cerebral Assassin will not be making those mistakes again. Simple as.
He's turning into an Attitude Era wrestler, giving a post-match interview, or it's the pre-match interview to JR. You know when they're like in the back? They're in the back. And then they're like, it's that. He's got the cerebral, he's got talking to himself third person, he's shouting, he's using his catchphrases. What's his costume? What's Yare's costume?
Well, he's going to be purple.
Mate, he'd be like purple pants, purple knee pads, and like purple boots with like a gold flash on them.
His costume's got to be like base level, or a base layer would be, you know, the Phantom's purple latex all onesie sort of situation. But yeah. Yare's version has definitely got a cape.
Definitely got a cape on.
It's definitely got like a big brain on the chest.
Yeah.
With a knife through it.
And you know, when he comes down and he's in the ring, he's always the second one down, always the second one down. And what he'll do, he gets into the ring and he stands there, gives it some big pose in the middle of the ring. Some people are booing, some people are cheering, and he does this really fancy cape flick. He takes his cape off and swings it round his head and like throws it to over the opponent's head or something before the match, just to put them off.
Again, making physical and mental notes.
Good. Oh, he's online. I've just gone into... He's online. No, we're not on messaging. Okay, so we had Yare. And now back to Pete Everall.
Spending 15 auction points on transfer pick number one and ending up with Moise Kean was a bit of a regret. But hopefully it'll come good second half of the season.
I think we're going to see a theme here, Marcus. And that theme is Everton players.
Okay.
They have been a significant disappointment to anyone involved with them. I speak from the experience of Fabian Delph, which is annoying because I've always had an issue with Fabian Delph being in the England squad. It doesn't make any sense. He shouldn't be in that squad. And he spent years just being a bench warmer at Man City and playing League Cup games. I thought, because of this positioning that he'd been given on the website as a defender, I thought, well, just by default, he'll pick up points from clean sheets whilst maybe getting the odd assist because he's playing it further up the field. But no, he has been Fabian Delph. Lovely bloke. Always comes across as a lovely bloke, but my word, is it frustrating pinning your hopes on him. And I'll take some of the heat off of Fabian here. I think it's Everton players in general this season have been very disappointing. I'd like to know what their fans think about their season.
Another question for Andy later on in the series. Yeah. So this is another one from Pete.
One player who I don't regret being outbid for on draft night is Sigurdsson. That guy has not been seen since. One person I thought I'd regret missing out on, and I think a few others thought I'd regret missing out on him too, was...
Fucking hell. Who was it?
Tinkering during the season isn't my greatest strength, and so I haven't made it my strategy over the years. So things I would change would be actually regretting not keeping to my strategy. From transfer or draft nights, I have lost my comrades Joe Gomez, Willian, and Lewis Dunk, and regret doing that because I think I'm points wise worse off without it, and possibly would be in third if I'd kept my complete draft night team.
So he wishes he'd kept to the algorithm then.
I have mixed feelings on this, Marcus. Pete, of all the drafters, is someone who has done well when he's relied heavily on his draft, on his team from draft night. And then he's mentioned some players there who have had spells where they've done well, but they've also had patches where they've then not done so well. And I just feel like the good spells that those players have stuck in his mind. And he's thinking about those points that he's missed out there. But what he hasn't taken into account is that he is currently in fifth because he's made changes and brought certain players in who have also done well. Now, Joe Gomez was injured for a chunk of the season and then couldn't get in the team for a while. Dunk hasn't kept a clean sheet in a long time. Willian had a little hot minute where he was doing a lot, but has gone off the boil recently. And I don't think he actually would be as high as he is if he hadn't made some of the changes. So I'm not so sure I agree with him on that portion of what he's saying.
He just loves his algorithm, doesn't he, though?
He would have loved for his algorithm to have just shot him up the table. Mind you, even his algorithm didn't say he was going to finish top, did it? I think it said he was going to finish third or something like that. So I'm not sure I agree with him, but what I do agree with him on is he has every right to have faith in his draft team, and usually he sticks to that. However, one year when he did do that, he did end up with a wooden spoon. So similar to Yare in some ways, it will either work very well or it'll go to the extreme at the other end.
Matthew Brummett.
I think the one change that I'd definitely make is just to not drink as much on draft night. That was definitely a bad mistake.
That's it. The one change. Brummett wouldn't get shit. Brummett wouldn't get shit. And he's the funny one because he's always talking about how much I drink on draft night. And he's just admitted it. But there you go.
The one change is that he wouldn't have as much fun on draft day.
Right.
I think this is a bit of a worry, Marcus.
What's that, mate?
Well, we don't want people to be taking things too seriously on draft day, that they don't just relax a bit.
Hey, I think when you designed kits and we bought a podcast out, I think that's when it got serious. I feel like we've gone over the precipice of serious now. I don't think that's got anything to do with it. Party on, dudes.
Nick has a beer and a few. And top of the table.
Yeah, exactly. It's nonsense. Making up excuses now. Talking of Nick.
Press conference, hairbrushes.
Nick, what would you change about your draft team?
What change would you make to your season if you could? Trade offer, draft move. Oh, okay. So, the change I would make is two decisions that I reflect upon quite often, and it causes me some trouble and distress. As we know, Sigurdsson has done pretty pony over this period of time, in line, I think, with Everton's form. And they may improve under Ancelotti, but I think Sigurdsson is pretty much written off this season as one he's going to not want to remember, unless he has a bit of a moment in the sort of latter half of the season. But let's see. The other decision that haunts me is this obsession I seem to have with Seamus Coleman.
What?
He was the first player I signed in the draft. I think 8 or 9 points. I don't know what I was thinking. Like I said, I got a bit excited. Did have good hopes for him. Again, there's a bit of a similar theme here. It's an Everton player. I thought they were going to do really well this season. I did actually get rid of him, I think roughly around game week 12, 13. And I brought in Joe Gomez from Liverpool, who was performing pretty well for me. Liverpool weren't hitting that many clean sheets. I think they got a couple. And then I was driving up north, and I remember it clearly. I thought, actually, I'm going to get Coleman back in and drop Gomez. I can't remember why I was thinking that. Perhaps a little bit deluded, a little bit mad. Maybe I was thinking of something blue, and I had an aversion to the colour red. I don't know what it was, but ultimately I got rid of Gomez and I bought in Coleman. and Coleman isn't even a starter under Ancelotti. He gets rotated a lot. And Gomez is a nailed-on starter at the moment, and my fiercest rival, Mel, sacked him up, and he has been reaping the rewards off it. So a little bit of madness from me, probably the poorest decision I've made from a transfer perspective, and it might come back to haunt me. So they're probably the two things that I would regret.
Wow. I mean, that's...
That was a press conference.
That was a full press conference. No more questions, no more questions. No, but Nick, Nick Morgan, Nick Morgan, no more questions. We've ran out of time. We dropped off the air. I think he said it all there. Even being hard on himself at the top of the league is like the one that he's like causes me nightmares or something, he said. Or the one that will come back to haunt me. So
it's like Jurgen Klopp, we have not won the league yet.
Yeah, a good sort of winning mentality there, I think.
Yeah, Everton players.
Everton players. More Everton players. What's this Seamus Coleman thing? I didn't know he was obsessed with Seamus Coleman.
Well, he bid, I think, 9 for him at the start of the season. Dropped him, brought him back in, dropped him, brought him back in. And the one of the players he took out to bring him in most recently was Joe Gomez. And Gomez has been clocking up the points for Melaleu, so his nearest rival is benefiting where he's messed up. Well, I gave him the precursor to Sigurdsson being bad for the rest of the season. I said, he's been taking off penalties, he's not on the pitch to take free kicks, Lucas Digne is taking those anyway, you have got yourself a dud. Sigurdsson has indeed gone on to be useless. Beginner's luck, mate, is what I say. Inexperience.
Beginner's luck for Nick Morgan. We're back with Phil Cairns' answer to question two.
I mean, if I could change stuff, there was a few things that I should have done differently. What change would you make? I mean, I don't know. I'd get. I still think that my players will fucking smash it towards the end of the season, but it's just quite difficult, isn't it? Maybe I would have been at the draft the night and picked my own team. That would have been better. Because I don't know if Sharman got it, to be honest.
Oh dear, I don't know if Sharman got it, to be honest. I think he got it by the end.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he just didn't have it.
But everyone did go to, he did it. A lot of players have gone to Spain.
Again, we're listening to Phil in outer space. 27 hours worth of oxygen left in the supply.
I just don't think the engineer's got it, really. Kind of needed a bit more oxygen. Oh,
I wish NASA had done a better job. But...
Fucking NASA. And then the final one that we have is Mantle.
What change would you make to your season if you could? Trade offer, draft move. I'm pretty happy with my draft picks on draft day, to be honest with you. There are a couple of things that I probably could have done. A couple of things I could have done. Paul Pogba had some interest with a trade. I didn't entertain that purely because he was apparently coming back, but then obviously he had an injury again. I believe Paul Pogba, and I still believe Paul Pogba could change my season. I think he can even change Man United's season, if I'm completely honest. I probably should have just fished Pogba out to everybody and just see if I could get. I've got a better trade offer for Paul Pogba than I got at the time. I think I might have brought Callum Hudson-Odoi in a bit too early. Honestly thought he was going to play a lot more than what he is doing, considering he's signed on his contract, etc., etc. Having said that, the last three games, he's got 15 points in three games. So I'm happy with that, but that is on the back of Pulisic being injured. So hopefully he can carry on that form, keep his spot, and keep getting me some points. Also, Digne, he's just not performed this season as much as I thought he would be. I got a trade offer for him, but I genuinely believed he was going to be like a top five defender, but he really isn't. But having said that, Everton, it's reflected on Everton's general season, full stop. Apart from Calvert-Lewin, which I'm very happy about.
Everton!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And
Everton and Calvert-Lewin.
Calvert, good old Calvert.
I don't know if that's like what he's called at Goodison Park, because I suppose he vaguely resembles Patrick Calvert, Dutch superstar.
Dutch. Close your eyes and think of Patrick Calvert. He looks like Patrick Calvert. Okay, got it.
My draft day plan, it worked out in the sense that I got two players that I didn't think would get a star graded points. I think Kevin De Bruyne has definitely excelled this season more than I thought he would. Had he have got performed as what I thought, and Pogba performed that I thought, like I said earlier on, I think I would definitely be in for a shout in a top two currently, even currently, let alone a finish.
Everton again.
Everton again, the theme.
And then he mentions top two finish again.
Yeah, well, Mansell's someone who his base rate of drafting gets him up into the upper echelons just naturally. He's just very naturally good at drafting. So he's always going to perform at a certain level, and then he'll have seasons where he just gets that little extra thing right. Or that's what happened when he won the league.
Yeah.
There's one year where he finished in the catering zone. It was a bit of an anomaly. But that aside, in fact, that might have even been the year that Leicester won the league.
Yeah.
So with things kind of not going to plan, he suffered. Every other season that he's done well in, the league has more or less kind of like fallen to form. And I guess this year is a little bit against that, as we mentioned earlier. And so he's not in that top two bracket like he usually is, but he's still in the top four or five.
He seemed to have the most to say about what he would change as well.
He's in a little bit of no man's land, I suppose, in that.
Which is uncharted territory for him, obviously.
He's in a catering zone fight. He's not sort of just meandering in the table. He is bringing up the rear to that title challenge.
So, just before we move on to the third and final question, which will be sort of a quick fire, because it's an opinion round, we didn't talk about what changes we'd make. Have we got enough battery left on the recorder and hours in the day to hear yours, Bradley?
I can actually whittle it down to one sliding doors moment, because draft day was draft day. That's a different scenario in terms of preparation, what have you. The one moment I would have changed is that Andy offered me Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang for Harry Kane just before New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And New Year's Day, Harry Kane pulled his hamstring. Looks like he's out until minimum, till April. Although I did see a nice little video of him stretching a rubber band the other day.
Just before flicking it at Dele Alli.
So I thought, oh, well, the recovery's coming on well, if he can do that. But it would have been nice to have a premium quality striker in my team for the second half of the year. What also happened is Aubameyang got sent off, so he missed three games himself straight after New Year's. So I still would have been waiting to pick up some points, but it would have been nice to have that main man. One of the reasons I didn't go for it is because I find it very difficult to rest my hopes of both the enjoyment of my team winning and my draft team winning on one player. It's a hard thing to do, because if Arsenal lose and Aubameyang hasn't scored, that means my draft team has also done terribly, and I'm just left feeling horrendous for the weekend.
It's double bad.
Double whammy. That's my sliding doors moment, Kane and Aubameyang. How about you, Marcus?
Well, I've still got loads of faith in the Aguero, Jesus and Dave trade. I think that's fine. Like, that's not, I think everyone expected me. I think now I feel like I don't have any goalkeepers. So I've been going on about...
I've been meaning to ask you about that. Why didn't you sign Loris?
I didn't think he was available. And then when I saw that Andy signed him, I was like, you are effing kidding me. I was like... I couldn't believe it. When he came in, I was like, huh? How has no one got Lloris? Why did no one have Lloris?
Because he got injured for what seemingly was the rest of his life. And it might have even been Andy who had him in the first place, but he dropped him.
Yeah, I should have picked up on that. When Alisson came back, I should have picked up on that and then popped Lloris on the bench and swapped him and Gazzaniga over. That might be an undoing. Like I say, the minute... Oh, my fucking defenders at the beginning of the season. Not signing the wrong Sheffield United one. And not signing Lundstrom and signing...
They all look the same, though, Sheffield United.
It's the red and white stripes. That, maybe. Yeah.
Not like all the other teams. All the players have their own individual kits.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I'm happy with Greenwood. I think he's going to start coming up. Happy with Rashford when he's back. It's all good. It's all right.
It's all good. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, defenders... All right, defenders at the beginning of the season and now I need a goalkeeper. So,
plenty of those knocking about, mate.
The third and final question is a bit of a quickfire one. We asked the drafters their thoughts on the potential of a legacy league.
Oh, the legacy league.
Okay, final question. What are your thoughts on the legacy league? Well, very interesting. I guess that would represent a fairly big change in terms of draft day. I've only attended one draft day. Lots of fun, quite intense. And I think this added dynamic would really get people thinking in terms of long-term strategy and probably split the amateurs from the professionals in terms of people knowing who the right players are to pick up. And probably the people who do the research will benefit from this potential rule change. So I think for me, if I was to be invited back to the draft, I don't know if that's a given or not, but if I was to be invited back to the draft, I'd love to come back. I think this would benefit me from a personal perspective because, like I say, I put in the work, I do my research, I know my players, and I think I'd find a few diamonds in the rough that would benefit me in the future. But I guess it is interesting added dynamic where there'll be lots of unknowns and you could be investing in a 19-year-old that's going to do absolutely nothing for you that season, and then 2-3 years down the line he could be a heavy hitter with a 200+ point. So it get people thinking. And I think it'd be a great addition to the league. So I'd be fully supportive of it. And I would crack on if I was you, Bradley. So that's it. That's my three questions. This is Nick Morgan from Supermarket Sweepers. I look forward to any additional questions that might come my way. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Cheerio.
Brilliant interview.
Knows which side is red buttered as well.
He does.
I like the sound of the Legacy League. It's interesting. Problem is, for me, my footballing knowledge is much more short-term. So I think, other than holding on to the couple of youngsters that I can think of, many of the people that I'd be picking are the people that are in current form. But then I guess it depends on the kind of game people are wanting to play. I'm not the guy who's wandering around all the minor league clubs on a Sunday wearing a cagoule with a thermos flask and scrawling little notes on a notebook like Yare. Anyway, that's my tuppence worth.
Rib shot to Yare.
A little dig.
Just leaving the game off the back of a 2-0 defeat to a pretty formidable Liverpool team. But the silver lining that is the draft is my captain has kept a clean sheet in a double game week. West Ham and draft till I die.
With regards to the Legacy League, I think it's a nice little spin on the draft. Keeps things fresh, puts another dimension onto it, and seems like a very interesting prospect. Lot of research to do, but you're invested in something, so I think it'll add a good new factor to things.
Good.
I've no idea how it works, but I like the sound of it. I think there's a young lad called Salah. Is it? I might invest in his future.
My biggest regret of the season, not having Trent Alexander-Arnold as my captain in the game week he scored 25 points against Leicester.
Wrong question, mate.
The Legacy League is a fantastic idea, although I am going to have to spend the summer rebuilding my algorithm.
I've never heard of the Legacy League until it was brought up the other week, and it was something that was really, really interesting, and something that I have given some thought to. And I think I would compare a transition from the draft to a Legacy League as like moving from having a girlfriend into a marriage. With the draft, it isn't necessarily a long-term commitment. But if we were to create a Legacy League, that would be like getting married, acknowledging that we're locked into this together for the long haul. Some people thrive in that environment, and it freaks others out. Be interesting to see.
The chapter halfway through the book.
Interestingly, some of those quotes were taken directly from Andy's wedding vows. A marriage is a lot like a Legacy League. The most romantic thing Sarah had ever heard.
I mean, the idea of having a player and keeping them for a while and all, I don't think that's a good idea, to be honest. Put everything in one, all your fucking eggs in one basket with one player, and then you think that's going to be your legacy, whatever, and then they leave, whatever. Does that mean, I don't know, it all sounds very complicated. I think I'd like it just to remain kind of the way it goes. You pick a team from the off, you can I don't know, it's strange how some players just go to the top and they just stay there, and some people go to the bottom and stay there, and you look at the teams and there's not real much difference apart from like one player. So I don't know. I do not know. I don't... Legacy League. I'm not sure about that.
I don't think Phil knows. Who else have we got here?
There's somebody with like a cold in the background as well.
Right.
Sort of like trying to hold that cough in.
Yes, that's dressing room. That's dressing room time, isn't it?
I think the Legacy League is a fantastic idea. There's definitely, and here it comes, there's a cerebral thought process to how you're going to pick your players for both this season and the subsequent season after that. So yeah, you need to put a little bit more thought into your picks, and to try and sort of mix and match youth and experience, or youth and quality, or youth and superstar players. It's brilliant. It's really exciting. I think it's good to see the draft spiced up every year. And it's good to see those kind of little innovations being added to it. So yeah, I'm excited about the Legacy League. I think we should, me personally, I'd implement it like next season coming up straight away. I think we've already been given a taster of it in the last podcast. And once we clarify the sort of bits and bobs and what's needed, I think we should go full steam ahead.
Okay.
And
the Legacy League stuff sounds a bit like a funky idea, but I'd probably kind of compare it to the 100 in cricket. It's got some interesting things, but it's not for me, Clive. I quite like the idea of the draft, especially on the player side, starting with a clean slate. But that's just my two penneth.
Brummett, I thought, was actually... I'm surprised by that answer from Brummett.
I was as well.
Embarrassingly, I don't know what the Legacy League is, because I haven't listened to the latest podcast. I'd like to say I've been very busy, but I've been unemployed. But I've been listening to Audiobox and not running as much lately. So I don't listen much if I'm not running. But I've got a half marathon in a couple of weeks, so I better start training. Nice one.
That half an hour, mate. And then Johnny's longest answer.
Save the best for last, unfortunately.
Legacy. Yeah, sounds quite interesting. But I guess we need to all know the ins and outs. Sounds like a bloody commitment. I know, I've got three kids to think about. But sounds interesting. Potentially could affect people who are not doing it for 1 year and stuff like that, and injured players, and might make draft day more boring. But maybe I don't understand it all. Okay, bye bye now then.
Johnny saved his best to last.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those ones where we'd have to get everyone together, probably, because at the minute, I mean, I'm all for it myself. And I think you're nodding away there. as well. But out of, if we take us two out of the equation, it's kind of, there's five people, Nick, Dutz, Pete, Andy and Yare seemed up for it. Melalu, Brummett, Phil, and probably Wolf, listening to that, were not so into it. So it might need a discussion, or Wolf, well, just needs to explain it.
It sounded to me like, I was actually not expecting as positive a response from Wolf. I was expecting him to be like, no.
Yeah, don't like change.
So I was actually quite pleased that he seemed to be quite open-minded about it. I would say him and Melalu sounded pretty positive to it. It just, obviously, a little bit sketchy of the unknown, which I think we all are. I feel very positive about the idea, but I know it's going to take quite a lot of ironing out in terms of us just figuring out what the ins and outs are. So I think once that becomes clearer and you can find some way to make your mental ideas into physical ideas, I'll have to ask Yare how that's done.
Yeah.
But I think if we're able just to get something written down and present it to the drafters and say, right, this is how it's going to work, I feel that, maybe not Phil, because he'll have run out of oxygen and floated off into space by that point, but apart from Phil, it seemed like there's an opening at the very least with everyone, and then obviously some people are very, very much up for it. It's an exciting idea.
I agree. More on that when we know more ourselves. Keep listening, and if you've got any ideas or thoughts on the Legacy League, you can get in touch with us at areyouhavingadraft@gmail.com. You can also find us at havingadraft on Instagram and Twitter. There we have it, another episode of Are You Having a Draft? And as usual, we have got some thank yous, starting with our musician, Mr. CJ Pandit.
CJ!
Check out him on social media at CJ Pandit and on Spotify. There's a couple of tracks on there as well.
Hanging out with Marcus tomorrow, who you're recording with him or something?
He's got a new song, and as part of the launch to the song, it's going to be part of an exhibition, and he wants me to do a bit of a voiceover.
They need a backing dancer.
They need a...
You are going to be there, being the Bears.
No, you know how Beyonce has those dancing twins? I'm going to do the dance twice, and then they're going to video project me as if I'm the dancing twins.
The horror.
Shush! Who else are we thanking, Bradley?
We also have to thank Kate Bellamy at kate.made.this for the artwork. And we also shall thank Matthew Melalu at Matthew Melalu for vast amounts of things.
Yeah.
Also, Marcus, big thank you to Will Coburn. At Will Coburn, which is WILCOBAN. Only one L in his Instagram handle.
Do you know how I know that, Bradley?
I don't know, Marcus. Go on.
Because you put a very lovely photo up of yourself this week, and it was taken by at Will with one L Coburn. And I meant to say, that's it. That's his name. That's the one. And
chat him up nicely, mate. You might take a nice one of you with a new haircut.
Oh, I will do. Will, I've always liked you, mate. Good.
Steve, I've always loved your...
Tom, John, tell Ron,
me.
Charlie. Right, what was the next one? Ah, yes. And as usual, we would like to thank our wonderful friends and hosts over at Acast.
Acast, you have done it again. Thank you so much.
And also a very special thank you to the man who this would not have been possible without, our outgoing producer, Mr. Zach Brown.
Zach, thank you for all your hard work, and for the last time, Struth Galah, Cowabunga. That's not Australian, but we'll throw it in there.
I'll do. Zach's workload picked up massively. And he's been pushing
big
us.
Big time now, mate.
He's very big time. And he's been pushing us up the hill since we started. It's the very first idea. He's been pushing us up the hill. We've reached the top of the hill and he's pushed us over. And now we're free falling all on our own.
And he's gone. Bye!
So there's all our thank yous. That's been a brilliant episode. Great to hear from all the drafters.
Some voices that don't usually get the opportunity to appear on the podcast. And yet, this week we got him.
And just before the Super Bowl, we are signing out. Bradley, who are you cheering for? Is the question?
I'm not sure if like it's fair that you choose, you know, like a holiday destination, like as a team to support, yeah. Because like Burnley aren't going to get many fans that way, are they?
No, exactly. Whereas one of the London clubs might do.
Exactly. Yeah. Sort of by default, we just get fans. I remember, like, you know, when you sort of like pick your teams from like the European leagues.
Yes.
Well, I had only ever been to Paris at one point, so I was like, oh, I guess I'm a Paris Saint-Germain fan. Now, I wouldn't go anywhere near that organisation.
Oh, because yes, there you go. You said the word. It's not a football club, is it? It's an organisation.
It is a franchise.
Here's the thing, actually. Going back to my haircut, bringing it back to me. The guy who sat me down in my chair, it was a weird thing. So the guy sat me down in my chair, he made sure I was okay. Then the barber came over. He's half German. He asked me, he was like, oh, who do you support? Because I said, I support Leicester. I said, who do you support? Expecting him to say West Ham, Spurs, Chelsea, maybe. No, he supports the team that Jürgen Klinsmann has just started managing in Germany. What are they called? I want to say they're like 13th in the Bundesliga. I can't remember what they're called. But it was like really random. It's like a Berliner.
Hertha Berlin.
That's the one. Yeah. He was like, I support Hertha Berlin, and I was like, brilliant. I'll keep an eye on them for the rest of the season, see how they're getting on. Never met a Hertha Berliner fan before.
I'm trying to think who my German team would be. Maybe I don't have one. It certainly wouldn't be Bayern Munich.
Do you know what? I went to Germany once when I was in year 8, so I think I was about 12, and we went to Cologne. So I think Cologne would be my team.
Oh, good choice. See, good choice.
Yeah, just because, again, the only place I've been to in Germany.
Yeah, have you got an Italian team? You must have an Italian team from, like, Gazzetta Italia days.
You know what? I've not got an Italian team, but the place that I want to go to the most, I think, at the minute is Naples. So, like, Napoli, I guess.
Yeah.
And I like Napoli salami as well.
Of course you do.
Big fan. Who's yours?
I have spent a fair whack of time in Rome. I also, at one stage, I think this would have been last season or the season before, had all three of Roma's kits. So I am a Roma fan.
Well, I look forward to our big, I was going to say derby. It's not a derby at all. It's just two Italian teams.
To us, is an Italian derby, yeah. But two Italians. Like, it's just not a thing.
It's just a football match.
Who's your Spanish team?
I think like Parma or something. Like, again, because haven't Palmer have got a team, haven't they? I'm trying to think. It can't be.
I'll tell you why it can't be Palmer.
Because they're
Italian.
Oh no! All right. I'm trying to think of places I've been in Spain. You know what? Actually, I can't have Real or Barcelona because it's just bonkers, isn't it?
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Sevilla.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. Sevilla. Yeah, I'll go for that. I'll go for Sevilla. What about you?
Well, I feel I have to go for Valencia when they play in their red and yellow with blue shorts away strip.
Purely such a kid. I support Arsenal because I love the kid. Not you, but like there's a mate of mine at school who supported Arsenal. I'm pretty sure he supported them because of that yellow and blue kit with the arrows on.
Oh, he's a sweet kid.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
he's a sweet kid. I've got a picture of it at home that Pete sent me for Christmas.
And that leaves us with France, I guess.
France. I am partial to, again, this is a romanticism, but a bit of Chrissy Waddle, Marseille in the early 90s.
I was going to have Marseille.
Awesome kit as well.
I was going to have Marseille, actually, as well.
I've been to Marseille.
Yeah.
And I don't really have a reason to support anybody else, I don't think.
Are Monaco technically a French team?
They are indeed.
Because you've gone for Marseille, I'll go for Monaco. So, which is very apt for our post-EU Brexit episode. We've got some European teams to follow there, Bradley.
Does that sound like a desperate attempt for us to try and make connections as we're on the way out the door?
Anyway, Bradley, it's been an absolute joy, again, phoning in, and it's been great from hearing from all the lads. Anything you want to say before we sign off?
I hope you have a lovely time till we meet again. That's not just to you, Marcus, I suppose that's to everybody.
I'm extending your sentiments to yourself and to everyone else. Until next time,
drop safe, baby.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.